guys miss my profile? You remember, like, for a year and a half, you've seen my profile. I talked to you like this, right? You were eavesdropping on me doing this show, is basically what was happening. Now, I stare at you, and I'm wondering if it disquiets you in any way. I never showed you this profile here, this one. I don't think this is my good side. These are important considerations. Thanks for indulging me. This, I always showed you this. Yes. Oh, that's nice. But now I'm looking straight ahead. I don't know. Tell me what you think of this. So, what do you do for your loved ones who believe in eternal torment, love the law, want to see the Ten Commandments on the school buildings? You send them this book. A book that I wrote called The First Idiot in Heaven. This is a book written about Paul's gospel, which is an ark. Just like Noah's Ark. Noah built an ark and it saved people from a worldwide flood. Paul's gospel is also an ark. It is an ark that will save people from the coming indignation. Paul says Jesus Christ is our rescuer out of the coming indignation. It's by the grace of God that anyone believes Paul's message. Paul has a distinct message. It's salvation based on the death for sin that is important to believe in, his death for sin and his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, all sufficient. It's up to God to make people believe that truth. However, happy are the feet of those who are bringing an evangel of good. I have extremely happy feet because I bring the evangel. By this, I'm trying to tell you that God uses human beings to give a message so that other human beings might believe that message. And I'm one of the honored people to be able to have put the message in a clear, concise way in The First Idiot in Heaven. This book, relatively speaking, could bring aeonian salvation from the coming indignation to your loved ones. Not a bad deal for $15, whatever it costs. I don't know what it costs. Go to my website, martinzender.com, or go to starkhartman.com. Now, just go to martinzender.com, click on books, and get this book. Buy this book, The First Idiot in Heaven. I think it's a worthy investment to save people. Yes, you will save people by giving them this book. But Martin, only Jesus can save. I know. I'm speaking relatively. Okay? Buy this book. Now, we are... That was just the fourth messenger. All that just set me off on eternal torment. And for 2 days, I didn't see this. When I was studying the book here, it just came to me as I was recording that, wow, this heat, that's what set me off. The heat does not reform people. All right, and now we have the fifth messenger pours out his bowl. And the throne, on the throne of the wild beast. And its kingdom became dark. And they gnawed their tongues for misery and blaspheme the God of heaven for their miseries and their ulcers. And they do not repent of their acts. The throne of the wild beast. We're not talking about a literal throne. John sees a throne. It's the rule of the wild beast. And it's already dark. To the insightful believer of this day, to the remnant of Israel, that kingdom is already dark. But as you know, because you are an insider here at the Revelation series, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan and his messengers disguise themselves as messengers of light and dispensers of righteousness. Therefore, the kingdom of the wild beast does not appear dark to those in it. It seems to be a source of great light. It has heretofore brought blessing to the earth. Two cars in every garage, a chicken in every pot, and fat in your wallet. Better wage, better jobs, all the temporary advantages of living on earth is provided by the wild beast until it vexes you to death. You see, it's a two-edged sword, as we discussed several months ago. And when the judgment comes down from heaven, then those worshiping the wild beast have no rest day and night. And so really, I don't care how attractive it looks, it's not a pleasant prospect to worship the wild beast. It's not only... this is why, I think. Because when you concentrate on your flesh, and when the flesh is numero uno consideration-o, then that brings trials of many kinds. Paul's simple statement, 1 Timothy chapter 6, those intending to be wealthy in this eon try themselves on all sides. So wealth can come in different forms. It can come, there's the wealth of comfort, there's the wealth of money, obviously. There's the wealth of family and friends, and all these are wonderful, and God controls these blessings as they trickle down to us, and He rations them out to us. He portions them to us very mercifully, very graciously, because if we were inundated with them, we would be vexed on all sides by trials. So you can thank God that He's controlling this. But again, for Israel, for some in the end times, He lavishes them with this, and it becomes their undoing. He wants it to become their undoing. And so the kingdom of the wild beast, no matter how good it looks, again, I remind you, it's called the kingdom of the wild beast, but there's no way it's going to be called that on the earth. That's not the labeling. You see the picture of the hamburger at McDonald's or at Hardee's or at Wendy's. You look up at the sign where it tells you all the wonderful death platters you can order with your hamburger and your fries, and you can get a milkshake, and the hamburger looks luscious. It looks like it's a two-story building and just fat and juicy. That's the advertising. But when you get the thing in your little cardboard box, what does it look like? It looks like it has been set upon by an elephant. Thus also the kingdom of the wild beast. It's presented as the answer to all humanity's woes. And in the United States, we are in the midst of an election. And this election, of course, the candidates are saying that they will be the cure of all humanity's woes. Some candidates may look better than others. Some think they both look horrible. I agree that if these are the best people we have to offer, something's wrong. Oh, yes, something is terribly wrong, but it's wrong by design. Governments were not meant to succeed. They were meant to fail, to lack, so that the world will long for the coming of Christ. You see, that will be the only perfect government. So it's presented now as light. It's presented as the answer. Don't fall for it ever. Of course, we all want to live under an efficient government that stays out of our way. Of course, there are some human governments better than others. I've told this to you before. I remind you of it again today. But here, finally, the fifth messenger pours out darkness, and the kingdom became dark. So now it's finally looking to be what it is. This is the big turnaround. This is the big switch. That finally, the secret of lawlessness is exposed. There is no more secret of lawlessness at this point. This is one of the points where it stops. The secret of lawlessness is that lawlessness is disguised as righteousness. That's one of the secrets Paul reveals to us. If you want to find lawlessness, you don't look for it in your common places where people expect to find lawlessness, especially Christians, strip joints, bars, betting salons, cigar bars. Ooh, all the sinners go there. Did I say bars? I did? Oh, well, yeah, of course. Anybody who drinks alcohol, that's a den of iniquity. That's what they're commonly referred to as. No, churches are dens of iniquity. The wild beast is a den of iniquity. And I remind you that the wild beast is a religious organization. It is a religious organization because this darkness is finally poured upon it by the fifth messenger in the throne section of the unveiling. In the temple section, not the throne section. The throne section speaks of a king. Kings sit on thrones. Priests don't sit on thrones. Priests wander around the altar in their robes, smelling good and dispensing the incense with their censers and accepting the worship of the people. That's what people do in the temple section where we are now. And the wild beast is being judged in the temple section because the wild beast wants worship, because the wild beast is a religious organization that has teeth behind it because of its alliance with a political organization. This is what we're going to be discovering in chapter 18, the unholy alliance between the prostitute and the wild beast. The whore of Babylon allies itself with a political organization, and it becomes a big, giant, religio-politico monstrosity, a beast. But finally, it becomes dark. Now it becomes what it is. It didn't appear that way, but it becomes dark. We're in verse 10 of the unveiling, chapter 16. Do we have time to go? Yes, we do. Let's go to verse 11. And the sixth messenger. See, we're moving along. The sixth pours out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. The river Euphrates will be a river that marks one of the borders of Babylon. It's the same river Euphrates that you know today in Iraq. And its water is dried up in order that the road of the kings of the Orient may be made ready. So there are going to be some kings from the east coming over. You might think it's China. As Donald Trump would say, China. It might be China. I don't know. It's just going to be another nation. I'm not too alarmed at this. Everybody says, oh, the great yellow horde, the Chinese army. It's just going to be another army that can't get to where it needs to go to attack Israel unless the Euphrates is dried up and it helps it. And this sounds crazy. I understand that. But I don't care how it sounds. It's just true. This is how it's going to happen. This is a literal affliction on a literal river to allow a literal army to literally go get an enemy. And for some reason, it's a ground war or a water war. They have to get across the... I don't know why. Sure, I know what you're saying. You just take airplanes or do something modern. Take an atomic bomb. I don't know why. All I know is that armies are going to gather. A ground war is going to be amassed in the Valley of Armageddon against Israel. And this is simply facilitating that. So I perceived... This is scary. I perceived out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the wild beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets three unclean spirits as if frogs. Unclean spirits, we can't see them, but some people can. And they must look like frogs, according to John. They're reptilian. I'm not surprised because Satan was a serpent. He was forced to crawl on his belly. The serpent was, because the serpent became a vehicle of possession by the adversary. Just like Satan possessed Judas. Judas was a vessel that was possessed. Serpent, poor thing. I can't help it. I'm sorry. Pigs were once possessed by evil spirits too, when Jesus cast spirits from the demoniac into the pigs. I'm just the reporter. So, these spirits look like frogs. I don't know. I think frogs, green tree frogs are kind of cute because they're shiny. When the sun's shining, they reflect the light off their shiny skin. I think toads are repulsive. Used to hold toads as a kid, and without fail, they would all pee on me. Every toad I ever picked up peed on me. So that really spoiled my fun of holding the toad. But anyway, for they are spirits of demons doing signs, which are going out to the kings of the whole inhabited earth, to be mobilizing them for the battle of the great day of God Almighty. It's these spirits that go out to mobilize the kings of the earth to go to battle. This is really amazing because it's similar to what happened with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. He wouldn't have been so stubborn for so long in the midst of so many bad things happening, except for the hardening power of God. So these unclean spirits that look like frogs go out from the false prophet, the mouth of the wild beast. So they're not even the source of it. They appear to be the source. If you're looking at it on your tribulation cam on the earth, it looks to be like the wild beast is doing this and the false prophet's doing that, and they're saying things. But that's how it looks from the tribulation cam. But if you have the God cam, you're seeing, and John has the God cam here, he's seeing spirits coming out, deceiving spirits, like 2 Chronicles chapter 22, deceiving spirits in the mouths of the prophets, convincing, was it Ahab, to go up against some enemy. So I like the God cam. That's what we're getting here. But the people on the earth, unless they're reading the unveiling or watching this video show, they're not on the God cam. They're on the tribulation cam. Ooh, look what the wild beast said. Ooh, look what the false prophet said. But they're, it may be flowery. They're persuading the kings of the earth to come up against Israel. These are councils, recommendations. They're meeting in Senate rooms, and they're deciding that we're going to put out a call for the nations to come up against Israel. This is going to be the final battle. And so they put out the clarion call, but it may be sweet, it may be, I don't know, but I know that behind it are evil spirits that are from God. Ultimately, they're going to bring the nations, including the kings of the east, across the dried up Euphrates River into Israel to make war with Israel. It ain't going to work.